Parshas Vayetze begins with the Yankev Avinu running away from his brother Esav, and he arrives at a location, and according to the tradition, this is the Har HaMoriah, this is where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built ultimately. Vayivka Bamakom. So the simple translation is that he arrived at a location. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Vayivka Eloshim Pigia Eloshim Tvila to Davin. And our tradition has it that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankev all davened. In the Chumash it says, Avram davened, Yitzchak davened. And here, according to this Masorah, Yaakov Avinu also davened. The Gemara has different opinions. One opinion is that Shachris was instituted by Avram Avinu, and Mincha was instituted by Yitzchak Avinu, and Maariv was instituted by Yaakov Avinu. Even if you don't accept that opinion, the Gemara has the other opinion, that the Tfilas were instituted not keneged Ovis, not Ovis Tiknum, but rather keneged Hakrovis HaKarbonis, but still it is a fact that the Ovis did daven. No one disputes that. It says in Chumash that they davened. So when we start our Shemana Esrei, we start off with Lekei Avraham, Lekei Yitzchak, Lekei Yankiv, to join that big tzibur of people who daven, that our forefathers have been davening for centuries, for millennia, for a few thousand years. So you want to join along with them in the tefillah. The Gemara in Brachas comments about tefillah that the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, "Kirum zulos livnei adam," that tefillah is dvarim ha'im deberum mishaloylam and b'nei adam is alzinlam lahem. Tefillah is a very important thing. The Gemara says, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu is mesavel tefillosim shel tzadikim." We don't understand what that means. We have human desires. A man desires a woman, some people desire money, some people have a big desire for food. Everyone has their own kind of desire. Some people have more than one desire. And the Rabbanu Shel Olam has his desire. We don't understand what that means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has a taiva, who is misaveh letfilosam shel tzadikim. That's what the Gemara considers tefillah. Dvarim ha'om deberum shel olam, and people are mezalzel. And yeshiva, they daven very quickly. They should really daven much slower. When they'll graduate and have to become, they'll join the working force, so they'll have to run to work in the morning, so they'll have to daven quickly. What's their rush to daven so quickly? They should really daven much slower. How can you daven so fast? It says in Shulchan Aruch that in Siman Aleph it says, "Tov miat bekavana mehabi shaloi bekavana." It's better to daven less and to say it slowly to know what you're saying rather than to gobble down so many words and to say so much b'li kavana. Or they have a famous comment from Rabbi Hutner, "Zecharon Levracha, Tov miyat shaloi b'kavana, mehar b'shaloi b'kavana." If bein kavako, you're not going to daven with kavan. It's better to say less shaloi b'kavana than to say more shaloi b'kavana. What are you saying so much shaloi b'kavana for? Tefillah is a very serious issue. People don't understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls everything in the world. We have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything. The Gemara comments, the Gemara in Brachas comments on the pasuk in Tehillim, "Azos yispal kol chosid le'eis mitzo." A chosid should daven for something be'eis mitzo. What is he referring to? So one opinion, le'eis mitzo is a shidduch, matzu isha matzu toif. Then the Gemara has another. Gemara says everything. Le'eis mitzo is everything. You have to daven for parnasa. You have to daven for good health. You have to daven. The Gemara says that you should have a nice death. When it's time to die, you should have a pleasant death and you should have a pleasant burial and should be bekavadik. Gemara says you have to daven for everything. From A to Z, you have to daven. People are not in the habit of davening. Davening tefillah is supposed to be be'es tzora. The Rambam's opinion is that the obligation to daven is min haTorah, to daven once a day, every day. Because the pasuk says in Kriyash Maliyovda b'chol avavchem, and the Gemara says on the first daven Tainis, what is avodah shebelev? That is tefillah. Person has to, if you daven without kavanah, by definition, it's not tefillah. Avodah shebelev, you have to daven with kavanah. So the Rambam understands, whenever the Torah gives us a mitzvah and it's unclear how often you have to fulfill a mitzvah, it's itself understood that it's once a day, every day. Once a day, every day. Like Talmud Torah. It doesn't say how often you have to wear tefillin. When do you have to wear tefillin? So we assume once a day, every day. Except for Shabbos and Yom Tov, we learn that from the psukim that you potter. But otherwise, once a day, every day. Or Talmud Torah, we would assume once a day, every day, if not for the pasuk in Yoshua, that says, "V'hagisa bo yamam v'loilo," so it says once a day, every day, and once a night, every night. If not for that pasuk, it would have been once a day, every day. It would have been yotze the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So here it says in the pasuk, "Li'ovta b'chol avadcha," it doesn't say when, how often. So the Rambam understands that one is obligated to daven once a day, every day. The Ramban disagrees, and he says the obligation to daven is only be'eis tzara. It says when all the terrible tragedies will occur after the Teuchach and Kisavos, it says when the Jews will be suffering in Golos, and then will cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should save us, then he will bring us back to Eretz Yisrael, and he will give us the Geula. So the Ramban says that Tfilah B'yeis Tzara is their Isa. When there's a famine, when there's a plague, when there's an epidemic, when there's a sickness, when there's a big Tzara Satsiba, then Tfilah is their Isa. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that he thinks the Rambam also agrees that Tfilah is only their Isa B'yeis Tzara, but human beings should have the realization that the human situation is always so fragile that it's always Eis Tzara. Now I have a parnasa, tomorrow I may not have a parnasa. Now I'm healthy, tomorrow I may not be healthy. Everything is going well now. Everything can be overturned overnight. So the human situation is always one of Eis Tzara. So we have an obligation to daven every day, once a day, every day at least. Menatoyra, midirabbanan, you have to daven a few times a day. Menatoyra, you have to daven once a day, every day. The Gemara has an expression, Rabbi Yechanan, halavai sheyispal olam kol hayom kuloy. It would have been, we should really daven all day long. We should really daven all day long. People make a mistake. They think that the ikar of the davening is the praising of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The praising is just the introductory remarks. It's not derech eretz, just to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need parnasa, and this child doesn't, this one of my children doesn't have any children yet, this one has a sick child, and this one has a problem of parnasa, and so on. You have to, Sheilas Tzarochim is the essence of the tefillah. The middle part of the Shemoneh Esrei is the main part. The Gemara says we learn out from the Chumash that it's not derech eretz just to start asking, just to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please take care of all of my needs. So you have to introduce your tefillahs by saying Shevach. You have to conclude the tefillahs by adding Hoidoya. But that's not the essence of the tefillah. That's the preface and that's the epilogue, whatever. That's the introduction and the conclusion. But the essence of the tefillah is the middle part. The main part of the tefillah is the Bakoshas Tzarochim. The Rambam says, Min HaTorah, there's no particular text of the tefillah, but the general outline of tefillah is Min HaTorah. You have to daven once a day, every day. You have to start with Shevach. You conclude with Hoidoya, Moedim HaNachnu Loch. And the essence of the tefillah is the middle part, the Bakoshas Tzarochim. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Gemara says, we leave out the middle part. So Rav Moshe Feinstein asks in his Tshuvas, if you leave out the middle part, so you're missing the whole Ikochasman and Sefer. The whole essence of the tefillah is the Bakoshas Tzarochim. And on Shabbos, the Gemara says you don't have Bakoshas Tzarochim, so you're not Yetzin the Mitzvah and HaTorah to daven once a day, every day. So Rav Moshe points out, no, the concluding paragraph in the middle brach on Shabbos and Yom Tov is always Bakoshas Tzarochim. He should accept our observance of Shabbos. He should sanctify us with the mitzvahs. On Shabbos and Yontif, we don't have Bakoshas Tzarochim of Gashmias. We only have Bakoshas Tzarochim of Ruchnias. Those are also Tzarochim. Those are also needs. And the same is true on Rosh Hashanah. When you daven Malchus Reina Shofers, the main part of the Shemoneh Esrei is the concluding paragraph of the three brachas of Malchus Reina Shofers. At the end of Malchus, the concluding paragraph, that's the Bakosha. That's the Bakosha of Ruchnias. And then Lokenu Kasein is Zorchenim Zikaron Tavu Lofanecha, Zichroinus, and Shofers. Lokenu Kasein, Tkabi Shofer Gadol Lachev Yosenu, Masonis Lkabitz Goli Yosenu. The essence of the Iker, the essence of all the davening is really the Bakosha Tzorochim. And the introduction and the conclusion is to pad it a little bit, but it should be with Derech Eretz. It's not Derech Eretz to pest HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just to take care of all of our needs. So you have to introduce the tefillah with Shevach, and you have to conclude with Hoidoya. But the essence is really the Bakoshim. So really, the Gemara has a Loshon, Halavai sheyispal olam kol hayom kulo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take care of all of our needs all day long. You have to work for a living, you have to raise a family, you have to, people are busy, you have to do something. So you can't daven all day long, but the little davening that we do is considered as if we're davening all day long. The Rambam has the 14 Svarim, the Yad HaZakah, so Mada, Ahava, Zmanim, and so on. So Ahava, the Rambam has a motto at the beginning of each one of the Svarim. He always quotes a pasuk at the beginning, and that serves as the motto. So the motto for Sefer Ahava, the Rambam explains this. I'm not making it up. The motto is Mo'ahavti sarasecha kol hayom hisi chasi. Ahava. Mo'ahavti sarasecha. And the key is kol hayom hisi chasi. You have to learn a little bit every day. We said a little bit every day, a little bit every night, but it's kol hayom hisi chasi. By learning a little bit every day, a little bit every night, is considered as if it's kol hayom, as if the person is learning all day long. The same is regarding Kriya Shema. A person is mekabel al malchus shamayim. When he recites Kriya Shema Shal Shachris and Kriya Shema Shal Arvis, that's considered as if he was mekabel al malchus shamayim all day long. And davening is also in Sefer Ava. So davening, the davening once a day every day, or the three times every day, three, four times every day. Yom Kippur, he davened five times in the day. So it's considered as if he davened all day long. Rabbi Yochanan says, Halavai shiz palonim kol yom kul, is permissible to offer a tefillas nedovah. That detail, but even if you don't offer a tefillas nedovah, you just daven what you're supposed to daven, is considered as if he was davening all day long. The Rambam in the beginning of the Mishnah Torah lists off all of the 14 svarim, and he tells you what the theme, after the Minyan HaMitzvahs, he tells you what the theme of each one of the svarim is, and he tells you that the theme of Avo, the theme of Sefer Avo is, he's going to list off all of those mitzvahs that are tedirios, that are noig all day and all night, all the time. So the davening that we do three times a day is considered as if it's kol hayom, as if we're davening all day long. Yerushalmi has such an expression. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have really created man with two mouths. One mouth to learn Torah all day long and to daven all day long, and one mouth to deal in business. So Yankel Avinu is davening. Avram and Yitzchok says, Beferishi daven. The tradition has it by Yivka means that he's davening also. And we join along with the others when we daven Shemon Esrei. We're joining along, so that's why we invoke the tefillah of the others. We say Lekeinu, Lekei Avram, Lekei Yitzchok, Lekei Yankov. We're joining this big community of mispalalim, of people who daven. The Balatanya has in one of the Igros HaKodesh, in one of the letters that's printed in the end of every edition of the Tanya. He encourages, it's a letter to all of his Hasidim, he encourages them all that they should see to it that Shachris every day should take an hour and a half. And those who have to go to work, so they'll leave early. And that Bal Tefila shouldn't be a person who's rushing to go to work. It should be a person who's sitting and learning, so he's in no rush to go to work. And he says if he's going to hear that some of the Hasidim daven faster than that, that they didn't institute this takana, that it should take an hour and a half to daven, when they'll come to visit him on Yontif, they used to come visit the Rebbe on Yontif, he will not greet them. He will not give them shalom. The Lubavitcher now, they all daven very quickly. We should all learn, most of us are not Lubavitcher, probably hardly anybody is Lubavitcher over here, but we should learn from him. It should take an hour and a half. The davening should be slow. In the opening Mishnah, in Bava Kamma, the Mishnah lists off Arba Avos Nezikin, Shor, Bor, Mava, and Hever. So the Gemara says, Shor and Bor and Hever, that we know what it is. Hever, Kis Heitzi Eish. Eish. What is Mava? So the Gemara says, it's very unclear. One opinion is a Machlekes, Rabbi Shmuel. One says, Mava Zeh Ha'odam. One says, Mava Zeh Hashen. So if Mava Zeh Hashen, he has a Pasuk. Mava Zeh Ha'odam has another Pasuk. So the Meiri is bothered with Akasha. Rabbi Shmuel were both students of Rabbi Yudah Anasi. So when Rabbi Yudah Anasi was the editor of the Mishnayos. So when he taught them the Mishnayos, what did he say? It's Kirchok Mizrach Mamayrav, where the Mavazah Ha'odam, or Mavazah Hashem. So what did he say when he taught over the Mishnayos? So the Meiri is trying to reconstruct. He's looking back historically. So he makes a suggestion, and this explains a lot of Gemaras, if this is acceptable. He suggests, maybe there were two old traditions. The old tradition always was that Arba Avos Nezikin, and there were two different traditions, whether Odom is listed among the Arba Avos Nezikin and Shor Bor Mava Hever. So Shor includes Keren Shen Veregel. Oh no, that Mava Zeh Hashen, and Odom is not included. Arba Avos Nezikin, Arol Niske Mamono, and Shor is only Keren. And Mavazah Hashem, Shem V'Regel. So the Meiri suggests that maybe there were two old traditions. The both traditions had it, Arba Avos Nezikin. And there were two traditions had it, Kalt Arba Avos Nezikin. Rabbi Yudah Anasi perhaps picked the word Mave, which is a Lishna, the Mishtama, the train up in such a vague expression. Mave, He picked that word because it either could mean Shane or can mean Adam based on the two psukim. So he was satisfying the both traditions. And the Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel is which of the two traditions makes more sense. Because you have a lot of times like that, Mishnayis. There's Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, what the words in the Mishnah mean. How can it be a Machlokes what the words, as far as mitzvahs are concerned? Leila Seder, there's a Machlokes what it means, Bichas Hashir. What they say? What they do last year for when they had the Seder? What they say for Bichas Hashir? So according to this Miri, the Mishnah was written in such a way to satisfy both. There were always more than one tradition, and the Mishnah was written in such a way that it can satisfy both. So it's interesting, but the Gemara says this one suggestion, the Mab is Eho Adam, so they dug up a pasuk in Navi, Oma Shomer Asa Berke V'gam Loila Im Tevoyu and Boyu. What does it mean? If you want to pray for the Bias HaMashiach, so pray. So they say the word Bahaya in this context means to pray. And Mabezeh Adam, how would you describe Adam? Human being, Mabezeh Adam, the person who pray, the individual who prays. That's a description of a human being. The one who is created to pray. God created man that he should pray. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misabel HaTfilos Mashal Tzadikim. You have the pasuk in the beginning of Bereishis. It says that the grass wasn't growing on the earth. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, the interpretation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hadn't yet created Adam la'avod es Adama to offer Avodah Shebelev on behalf of the Adama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man that he should pray. We don't understand what that means. What kind of Eva is that? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu misava l'tfilosam shel tzadikim. So we should really take the davening a little more seriously. The Mesillas Yesharim has a famous essay on this pasuk, Vayikach Me'avne Hamokaim, that the Gemara in Chula, in the beginning of Perek Yed Anoshe, has a comment over here, that originally Yaakov Avinu took a few stones, Yosem Erashoysev, to put around his head. And then when he wakes up in the morning, it says, Vayikach Zo'evan, Ashesom Erashoysev, one heaven. But first it says that there were several stones. So the Gemara has said, the Poshep Shat is like the Ibn Ezraite, there's no contradiction. Vayikach Me'avne Hamakom, there were a few stones there. He took one of the several stones that were there. He only took one stone. Vayikach Ezraeven Ashesom Erashoysev, the one stone. But somehow the Gemara has a tradition that it's not so. The Gemara's tradition is that originally he took several stones, and when he woke up in the morning, miraculously all the stones had melted in together, and they became one stone. So what was that all about? So Rashi quotes from this Medrash, from the Gemara in Chulin, that the stones were vying with each other, each one insisted, Alay Anich Tzadikas Rosho, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused a miracle to occur. They all blended it together, they became one stone. So what is the Medrash driving at? So then Sil Sharm has a famous essay in the beginning of the Sefer, where he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything in the world for the purpose of serving him. Shakol Bar Lechvar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world, that everything should be involved in Avodas Hashem. So each one of the stones wanted to serve the tzaddik, to have its tachlis and bria. If something is created and it doesn't get involved in Avodas Hashem, so it's a waste of the creation. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused miraculously all the stones melting in together. They all had the schus. They're all serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're all alay anich tzaddik es rosho. I remember many years ago when the first Gerer Rebbe who moved to Eretz Yisrael. I forgot, what was he called? Imri Yemes. Probably the Imri Yemes, yeah. So when he passed away, I must have been around 20 years old, a teenager, I don't know. So the Israeli newspapers put out a separate edition, a separate magazine, all about the Imri Yemes, about this Gerer Rebbe. I don't know anything about him. So I read at that time, very interesting. So they had one of the fascinating stories that they had. Runs this, there are other stories I don't remember. This one sticks out of my mind, that one of the Hasidim of this Gerer Rebbe was a Sofer. So he visited the Rebbe, and he tells the Rebbe that he has a Chumrah. He practices a Chumrah that the Gemara says you have to write Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah on parchment that was taken from a kosher animal. If you take a hide from a horse or from an elephant, you can convert it into parchment, but you're not allowed to use that to say the Torah Tefillin. Zuzah learned that from a pasuk in Chumash. What if you take from a kosher animal, but it didn't have a proper shechita? It's an avela or it's a trefa. So the Gemara said, that's okay. As long as the animal is a kosher animal, even if it didn't have a proper shechita at all, an avela is a trefa, is fine. So this chassid was telling the Rebbe he has a chumrah, a midas chassidus, that he only takes from glatt kosher. He only takes from an animal that had a perfect shchita, and it was glatt kosher l'mahadin. So they quoted that the Imre Yemes recommended you should do dafke farked, you should dafke take from nevelus atreifus, because he says the kosher animals have their tikkun in this world. Jewish people eat them and they have koyach to do avodas Hashem, to daven and to learn Torah and to do mitzvahs. So the kosher animals that had a proper shchita, the glatt kosher, they're going to have a tikkun. The nevelus atreifus are crying out. They're never used for avodas Hashem. So he said, you should try to be mahadir, to use the hide from those animals, that they should also be involved in avodas Hashem. Try to get everything to be involved in avodas Hashem. The Rambam writes such a mashal in his Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos. It says, the Rabbanu Shalom created the whole world. Everything in the world is really for the purpose of the... You only need one tzaddik. You only need one person. But you need... The Rabbanu Shalom created the world with Adam Marishan. Would have been fine. But Adam Marishan, he has to have a wife to perpetuate himself, and he has to have someone to make food for him, and he has to have someone to make clothing for him, and to wash his clothes, and to make his bed, and to make a bed, to make furniture. You can't... So you need the rest of the world in order to keep the tzaddik company. He shouldn't look into an empty world and to help him function. You can't create a world just with one person. So the Rambam gives a mashal. Everything in the world is really for the purpose of serving the tzaddik. So he gives a mashal. Some Arabian sheik built a palace in the middle of the desert, and it has belly dancers dancing every night, and they have throw parties, and they're drinking shikr and prostitutes and everything. So it didn't accomplish anything towards Avodas Hashem. But one day there's a chacham traveling in the desert, and it's a hot day, and he takes a nap in the shade of this palace, and he regains his koyach. So the whole building of the palace was worth it for that one tzaddik. But that one chacham, I'm not even talking about a religious person, I'm talking about a chacham, about a scholar. So if the scholar rests in the shade of this palace that was built for very secular purposes, for the parties that the sheikh is making, the Arabian Nights, but then it serves the tzaddik, so that part of the creation, that part of the world, served its tachlis. The whole tachlis of the whole world, everything is for Avodas Hashem. There is a famous gemara in the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah that Lasi Lavoi and the Yom Adin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask all the nations, what did you do for Avodas Hashem? So the Romans are going to say, we built bridges that the Jews should be able to travel to go learn in the yeshivas. And we built marketplaces, that we built bathhouses, that everything that the Jews should be able to learn Torah. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to say, you liars, what do you mean? You built bridges in order to charge tax on the bridges. You built the bathhouses for purposes of the prostitution. And everything you did was not for the sake of Shem Shemai. So he's going to punish them. So the question begs itself, how did they have the chutzpah and the Yom HaDin to say such a lie? That they built the bathhouses and the shopping malls and the bridges. Everything was for the highways. Everything was for the Jews to learn Torah. That's ridiculous. So they quote from the Briskera, from Rav Elbel Soloveitchik, no. The truth, that's not what they had in mind. They didn't say they had that in mind. That was the tachlis. Like the Rambam wrote in that mashal in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos, said the Arabian sheik built this palace in the middle of the desert. His kavanas were not noble. But if a tzaddik passes by and one day he rests in the shade of the building and he regains his strength, so that building had its tachlis accomplished. So that's what the Biskarov interpreted. Maybe that's what the Gemara means, that the Romans, all the nations, will say, Liyom Adin, we did so much, and it they didn't have this in mind, but it certainly helped the Jewish people, made learning easier. So Rabbanu Shalom says, I don't care that's what I had in mind, but that's not what you had in mind. So he's going to punish them because they didn't have this in mind. So they quote from Baruch Be when they printed this. Briskera printed it. Briskera wrote this in the Sefer HaChumash. So before the Sefer HaChumash was printed, I think after he passed away. So originally this was printed in the Mipi HaShmua. Rav Elbele al HaChumash Mipi HaShmua. So then when they wrote up the same thing, so they wrote that Rav Baruch Be made a comment. The pshat that Rav Elbele said is certainly the correct pshat in the Gemara, but he thinks it's still a big chutzpah on the part of the Romans that they should say like that. Even if it is true, that everything in the world ultimately has to serve Avodas Hashem. That's what the Chazal mentioned over here. V'yikach me'avnei amokim. All the avonim don't accomplish anything in the world. unless they serve somehow or another in Avodas Hashem. Yaakov Avinu has this famous dream with the angels going up and going down the ladder, and the Medrash is bothered with this. We always imagine angels as the dormitory for the angels is in heaven. It's not all on the ground. So the angels, you should see angels coming down from their dormitory, then going back up. How come all of a sudden the angels are first going up and then coming down? It's backwards over here. So all of the suggestions of the Medrash are working on that. Why? So Rashi quotes one suggestion from the Medrash. Ki malach b'tzav alach l'shmocha b'chol derachecha. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends angels to protect the Jewish people, a special shmira. So there are different malachim in Eretz Yisrael and different malachim in Chutz L'Aretz. There's more of a hashgacha pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz L'Aretz. That's the pasuk in Chumash. Eretz Hashereini Hashem Elokecha Ba Mireishes Hashana Arach Rishana. There's hashgacha pratis all over the world, but there's more hashgacha pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz L'Aretz. There's more hashgacha pratis to tzadikim than there is to Beinanim. That's how the Rambam has a whole essay in the Mar Nevuchim. The closer one is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the closer HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to him. So in Eretz Yisrael, so the Jewish people, we assume, generally speaking, have more hashgacha pratis than the Umas HaOlam, and the tzaddikim among the Jewish people have more hashgacha pratis than the Beinanim. And in Eretz Yisrael, one is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's more hashgacha pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz La'aretz. That's why when David HaMelech had to run away from Shaul, he was afraid Shaul was going to kill him. And he had to run to Chutz La'aretz, so he bemoans the fact that Gershini Hayom his tapech, after running away to Chutz La'aretz, and they're telling me to worship Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says in the end, who told them to worship Avodah Zarah? There were Jews in Chutz La'aretz who observed Torah mitzvahs, who told them to worship Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, Kol Ador be'Eretz Yisrael kilo yesh lo laka, Kol Ador b'Chutz La'aretz kilo ein lo alaka. Why is kilo ein lo alaka? It means because it's more hashgacha pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz La'aretz. So that's what the Medrash interprets. This is one of the interpretations. That the malachim in Eretz Yisrael are different from the malachim in Chutz La'aretz because there's more hashgacha pratis. So Yaakov Avinu is about to leave Eretz Yisrael and to go to Haran. Vayel Haran. Haran is in Chutz La'aretz. So the malachim of Eretz Yisrael go back to heaven, go back to the dormitory, and new malachim come down to baglet Yaakov Avinu on his travels in Chutz La'aretz. That's the one interpretation of the Medrash. That's the one that Rashi quotes. Then Rashi comments on the concluding pasuk in the parsha, the end of Vayetze, the last two pesukim. Vayakov halach ladarka, when he's coming back from Choron to Eretz Yisrael, vayivgu bo malachei Elokim, and he bumps into malachim. What malachim? Vayom Yaakov kashera machane Elokim zeh vayikor shem amakam hu machanoim, a double machane, a machane malachei Eretz Yisrael and a machane malachei Chutz La'aretz, that the God was switched in the opposite direction. That until now he was living in Chutz La'aretz for so many years, for 20 years, and now he's coming back to Eretz Yisrael, is going to be protected by the Malachi Eretz Yisrael. Different Malachim in Eretz Yisrael, different Malachim in Chutz La'aretz. That's what Rashi quotes on the concluding pasuk in the parasha. The Medrash has other interpretations. Why the Malachim first going up and then they're going down? One of the other famous interpretations of the Medrash is that the malachim represent the sara shel kol uma veloshon. Later in Tanakh, you have like that in Daniel. It's described as if each nation has its own malach, who supervises, who oversees everything that's happening with that nation. And every nation has a rise and a fall. The rise and fall of the Roman Empire, the rise and fall of the Greek culture, the rise and fall of the Third Reich, the rise and fall of every country like that. The United States was rising for a long time. Now it's not exactly rising. Looks like it's falling. So every nation has a malach, and every malach goes up and down. And Yaakov Avinu is looking at history unfold in front of his eyes. He sees this video. He sees a cholam. Malach alekim olam yardim, the rise and fall of every nation. So then the Ribbono shel Olam tells him, now it's your turn. So he says, I don't want to go up the ladder. If I go up, I'm going to go down. I don't want to go down. So Ribbono shel Olam says, don't worry, I'm going to hold your hand. You're going to go up, you're not going to go down. That's what the Medrash says, is the difference between Jewish history as opposed to non-Jewish history. The non-Jews count, they have a solar calendar. The Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar. Not exactly. The months are lunar and the years are solar. That's why we have a Shana Mu'baris. But the Medrash presents it like that. The non-Jews count all of time with a solar calendar. So the sun rises all of a sudden, then it sets all of a sudden. And so every nation rises and sets, rise and fall. And the Jewish people are like the moon, that it starts with a little bit, then it gets bigger, then it gets smaller, then it disappears for 24 hours, then it goes again bigger, then it goes smaller. That's Jewish history. It goes up and down. If you draw a chart of any other nation, so it'll be, the chart will reach a peak, then it'll go down. That's the rise and fall of any nation. And if you understand history, well, you can predict in advance when it's going to rise, when it's going to fall. You have to know the Chukei HaTeva. There are Chukei HaTeva for history as well. There was a... politician, I forgot his name. When I was in high school, this was a required reading in history. There was some politician, I forgot his name, who wrote an essay something like 15 years before the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. So he said in another 15 years the Japanese will attack the American soldiers on a Sunday morning in December. And he explained why. He said because the Japanese like to have a surprise attack, and the nights are the longest. There was no radar, and at night you can't see what's happening. So the nights are the longest in December, and the American soldiers always have a late Malav HaMalka, on Matzoy Shabbos, and they sleep late on Sunday morning. So the best time for a surprise attack is a Sunday morning in December. And he had to determine how long it's going to take till they're going to decide to attack. So he said, what, another 10, 15 years? He wrote, and he was right. And it's not because the Japanese read his essay and they attacked. No, he knew how to size up history. If a person understands history, he can predict the rise and fall of any nation, with the exception of the Jewish nation. The Jewish history is L'mayla min HaTeva. That's why the opening Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says, the Mishnah with the Gemara say, that Rosh Hashanah l'malachim, when you count how many years it is since a certain government began, so you're not supposed to start from July 4th. When it comes July 4th, 1777, so then you write the second year of HaKamas HaMedina, July 4th, 1778, the third year of HaKamas HaMedina. Gemara says no. When it comes Rosh Hashanah, Echad B'Tishrei, then it's already the second year of HaKamas HaMedina in America. And in Eretz Yisrael, you're not supposed to go hey year. The Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah L'Malchei Yisrael, for a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, even if the Queen of England is Jewish, someone claimed that she's a descendant from the Malchus Beis David, but she's not running Eretz Yisrael. Malchus Yisrael means a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So if you have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, like I have now, so Rosh Hashanah L'Malchei Yisrael is not whenever they happen to inaugurate that government. It's not Hayir. The halacha says that it's Echad B'Nissan. Echad B'Nissan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malchei Yisrael. So the Gemara establishes it based on Psukim and the Ran on the first half and the Rif. And Rosh Hashanah points out that this is not Stama Minig. This is not Stama convention. That was the practice. This is a halacha that Rosh Hashanah L'Malchei Yisrael is supposed to be Echad B'Nissan. Rosh Hashanah L'Malchei Yisrael is supposed to be Echad B'Tishrei. And the reason for that is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world, Echad B'Tishrei was the Bria Sa'olam, Hayom Haras Olam. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world, he instituted all the principles of physics and chemistry and biology and everything, and astronomy and mathematics and history, the rules and regulations that govern history. So all of the history of the Umas Olam is governed by rules and regulations. And if you understand the Matzav well, you can predict in the future when is going to be the rise and when is going to be the fall of any given nation. And the Jewish history is L'mayla min HaTeva. Echad B'Nissan is Chodesh Nissan is the Chodesh HaGula. B'Nissan Nigola B'Nissan Asirim Nigola. The month of Nissan, it was full of Nissan of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So Jewish history is L'mayla min HaTeva. The Rambam lists off what he thinks are the 13 Ikori HaEmunah. There are more than 13. The Rambam himself also knows. There's so many Ikori HaEmunah which he doesn't include. Amr Yisrael Aliyam HaNivcha, there's Bechira Chavshitz, and some of the other things he doesn't include. It's a question why the Rambam only listed those 13. It's a historical question. So the Ramban HaChumash writes about what he thinks are the Ikari HaMunah in different places. He says, one of the Ikari HaMunah is that we believe that Jewish history is L'mayla min HaTeva. And anyone who doesn't believe that is missing an Ikar and HaMunah. The Ramban has this a few times in Chumash. He says, Jewish history, you can't draw, if you would draw a chart, it wouldn't be up and down. It would be zigzag, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. When we do mitzvahs, we go up. When we do averis, we go down. It says in the Chumash, if you observe the mitzvahs, v'nasati gishmeichem be'itam, then it'll rain. They need rain in Eretz Yisrael. They still need a lot of rain in Eretz Yisrael. And if you violate the averis, v'atzaras ha'shamayim lo yamata, there won't be any rain. Ramban says, does it make sense that if you violate Shemitah, so you lose the land? And if you observe, Shemitah, then you preserve your rights to Eretz Yisrael. Nothing makes sense, but this is Lamala Menateva. Jewish history is Lamala Menateva. So that's why Rosh Hashanah Lamalcha Yom HaSoilam is Echad B'Tishrei, because when you're talking about world history, all of world history is governed with the rules and regulations of history that were established in Sheshes Mei Breshes, together with all the Chukei HaTeva of chemistry, physics, and mathematics. And Jewish history is not governed with those Kolom. So that's the other interpretation. The Medrash has a few interpretations. Medrash has this other interpretation that the Malachim represent the Sarashal Kolom of Eloshon. So the Malachim going up and down represents the rise and fall of all of the other nations of the world. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, now it's your turn, Yaakov Avinu. You climb up the ladder. He says, no, I'm afraid I'll go up the ladder. I'm going to have to go down. So the Baruch Hashem says, no, I'm going to hold your hand. You're not going to go down. That's what the pasuk continues to say. After Hinenecha Imach Hishmaticha B'chol Ashei Telech, Hinenecha Imach means it's going to be a special Hashgacha Protis for the Bnei Yisrael, even when we'll be in Golus. When we're in Eretz Yisrael, even more Hashgacha Protis. But we're in even in Chutz Lords. Hinenecha Imach Hishmaticha B'chol Ashei Telech. And Baruch Chumash points out that the expression Hinenecha Imach is similar to the lashon that appears by Avram Avinu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu about the mitzvah bris milah. So it says there, hine brisa itach, hine brisa itach. So the Ramban says, the purpose of the bris milah is to indicate that the Bnei Yisrael have a special hashgacha protis, that is lemaila min ateva, similar to the lashon here, hine anochi imach. Medrash has quite a few suggestions, quite a few interpretations of what the dream was supposed to be alluding to, with the malachim going up and going down. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, in the Sefer HaChumash, Pesach Frank always wrote notes. He was always writing whenever he paskened everything, whenever he had a good vart, whenever someone said a good vart in his home. I remember quite a few years ago, they invited me to give a shiur in Yeshiva Teret Kohanim, in the old city. So after I gave the shiur, they were learning Gittin. So I talked about Erech Simakas, and Masirakas. So after the shiur, there was an elderly gentleman there, who was clearly older, he was older than me, he's no longer alive now. So he said he remembers Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank used to live in this home. And he says it was a big room, the Beis Medrash was a big room. He says it used to be a big room then also. And he used to have Rabbonim, many Rabbonim sit around in a circle when they had a Shaila. So they would ask everybody, what's your opinion? Was everyone, they would go around in a circle, and after everyone gave their opinion, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank would always come up with something out of this world. It's always le'ela le'ela, better than what anybody else said. But he would always, and they would sit and talk on Parsha Shavuot, and talk and learning. That's what they have so many svarim. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, he was always writing notes. He always wrote what everybody else said. He always wrote what he said. So they have Sefer HaChumash, they have on Yeridea, they have on Shulchan Aruch, they have on Gemaris, they have on everything he wrote so much. So on Chumash, he quotes from Rav Chaim Berlin. Chaim Berlin was the son of the Netziv. So he was a Rav in Russia. And then he, Besof Yomav, he moved to Yerushalayim. He lived his last years in Yerushalayim. So he quotes often from Rav Chaim Berlin. So he quotes a suggestion over here that the pasuk says, "V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav." So the Medrash has two interpretations: nitzav alav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was above the ladder, or was above Yaakov Avinu. So the Medrash has two interpretations. So Rav Chaim Berlin suggested, according to the interpretation, "V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav," that Shechina was on top of Yaakov Avinu. That's what the Medrash says: "Ha'ovis hein hein hamerkava." The Shechina was always shoira on the ovis. Vayal mi'olav elakim, the pasuk says regarding Avram Avinu. Vayal mi'olav elakim, the Shekhinah was resting on top of Avram, and then the Shekhinah went away. So wherever the Ribbono Shel Olam is, so that's where the whole battalion of angels will be found. So normally we visualize as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is in heaven above, and the angels are all there in the dormitory in heaven above. But if the Shekhinah is on top of Yaakov Avinu, then all the angels are over here. So that's why Malach Alekim Olam V'Yordim. That's why it's not Yordim V'Olam. That was his suggestion to answer the kasha of the Medrash. Why the Malachim are first Olam V'Yordim? It should have been Yordim V'Olam. So he says, if the Shekhinah is resting on top of Yaakov Avinu, so then all of the Malachim are going to be surrounding the Shekhinah. The Gemara says that Lasilavai Bahaltiha Nachlas Yankev Avicha Kipi Hashem Diber Pasuk in Navi. What does it say? Bahaltiha Nachlas Yankev Avicha. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us Nachlas Yaakov. Not the Gemara says in the end of Shabbos. Not Nachlas Avram Avinu. Not Nachlas Yitzchak is going to be Nachlas Yankev Avinu. What's the difference? Nachla means Eretz Yisrael. What's the difference between Nachlas Avram Avinu and Nachlas Yitzchak? So if you go through the Chumash, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, I'm going to give you Harotzes Ha'el. Harotzes Ha'el, Aleph Lamed, is the Lamed Aleph Malachim. The 31 kings, it says in Sefer Yoshua, when Yeshua ben Nun waged the war against the Lamed Aleph Malachim. So that's Nachlas Avraham Avinu. Then Yitzchak Avinu, when there was a famine in Eretz Kenan, Vahi Rabba Oretz Malvad HaRav HaRishon HaShe Hayab B'mei Avraham. Then it says, "Vayered Yitzchak el Avimelech Melech Plishtim Girora." So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, he was going to go to Mitzrayim because Yitzchak did exactly everything that Avram Avinu did. So when there was a famine in Parshas Lech Lecha, when there was a famine in the days of Avram Avinu, he went down to Mitzrayim. So Yitzchak is going to do exactly the same as his father. He's going to go down to Mitzrayim. So Kodesh Baruch Hu appears to him. He says, "I'll tear Mitzrayim. You're not allowed to go to Mitzrayim. You were noila tamima. And if you'll go out of Eretz Yisrael, you'll be Nifsal B'yotze." So the Maisa, he already did go to Chutz Lord. He went to Avimelech Melech Plishtim Girora, which is not part of the Lamed Aleph Malachim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have stopped him before he went out of the Eretz HaRatzos HaEl, out of the Lamed Aleph Malachim. So that's what the Gemara points out. No, at that occasion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yitzchak Avinu an extended part of Eretz Yisrael. A broadened out, not only Lamed Aleph Malachim, he tells them, I'm going to give you Eretz Giror, the Gaza Strip. Is it part of Eretz Yisrael or not? So in the days of Avraham Avinu, it was not part of Eretz Yisrael. Avraham Avinu was only given Haratz Yisrael, the Lamed Aleph Malachim. But then when Yitzchak went to Avimelech Melech Plishtim Gerora, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, I'm giving you this section also. This is part of Eretz Yisrael. And then, when Yaakov Avinu is running away from Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Lo'etz to save his life, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, all of Eretz Yisrael will be given to you. Not like Nachlas Avram Avinu, only Eretz Lamed Aleph Malach, and not like Nachlas Yitzchak, which was a little bit more, but Ba'achalticha Nachlas Yankav Avicha, Kipi Hashem Diber. More. Yankav Avinu was given all of Eretz Yisrael. Ufaratz the Yom of Akedma of Tzafonim and Egma means a larger area of Eretz Yisrael, larger than what was given to Avram, and even larger than what was given to Yitzchak. Kadosh Baruch Hu promises him that he's going to give him a special Hashgacha Pratis. He will protect him, and he will see to it that he should be healthy and he should be able to come back to Eretz Yisrael. So Yankov Avinu wakes up in the morning, and he takes a neder. Vayira Yankov neder lema. He takes a neder. Kol shetitan li aser asren uloch. He promises he's going to give Maisa Ksofim, whatever money he earns, he's going to give Maisa Ksofim. Maisa Ksofim never appears in the Gemara. Tosfos in Tainis quotes the Sifrei on the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. Aser te'asas kol tvuos arecha. Ha'yotzi asa d'shona shona. Why does it say aser te'asa twice? So that's to be the Pashup Pshat in the Chumash talks about Afrashas Maisa. So the additional verb, aser te'asa, the Kefa Loshen, is marbe Maisa Ksofim. If a person earns money, if he can afford it, so he should give the tzedakah Maisa Ksofim. He should give 1/10 of his earnings. So there are different opinions whether Maisek Sofim is a din deraisa, a din derabbanan. We assume that it's not even a din derabbanan. Most assume that it's only a recommended midas chasidus for those who can afford it. If you can't afford it, so you don't give Maisek Sofim. The Gemara says if you can afford more than Maisek Sofim, you should give twice Maisa. That's why Yaakov Avinu says aser asren uloch. Why does it say twice? He'll give one Maisa and a second Maisa. So twice Maisa is 1/5. So the Gemara says, if you can give one-fifth, is even better. But if a person wants to give the tzedakah more than one-fifth, he shouldn't do that. He may become poor. He's going to give away too much money. He can go broke, and then he'll become poor, and then he'll have to schnorr a tzedakah from other people. So that's not secheldik. Unless the person is making a fortune of money, so then he can afford to give more than chemish. But normal people are not making so much money, so the Gemara says, Hamavazveis, Ayavazveis yersim mechemish. That's a big machlekes in the Rishonim. What does that mean? So the Ramon Shulchan Aruch says that it doesn't only apply to tzedakah. The reasoning the Gemara gives only applies to tzedakah. You shouldn't give more than one-fifth to tzedakah, shemei yayoni, tzedakah labir. You yourself will become poor. And then you'll have to ask for a handout. So that doesn't make sense. So don't give tzedakah if it's going to cause you to become poor. So for the Gemara, it seems that it's only talking about spending more than one-fifth of your total savings, of your total income, whatever, for the purpose of charity. What if you're spending all of this money for mitzvahs? You have an obligation to do mitzvahs. I have to spend money to buy tefillin and to pay for a sukkah and to pay for lulav and to support yeshiva is also a mikvah, also a mitzvah. So some rishonim say that the limitation of chaimish doesn't apply to mitzvahs, only applies to charity. The Ramah paskens not so. The Ramah both in Hilchas lulav as well as in Yeridaya, in the siman about Yoharik Val Yaber, how much you have to be moisa nefesh to observe mitzvahs atayra. So the Ramah says that even when it comes to mitzvah shizmanu averis, like the lulav, if I don't, the fellow is stuck in Alaska for sukkahs, and the only way to get the dalaninim is to pay a fortune of money to have them FedEx the lulav on Erev Yontif, and that'll be more than one-fifth of his total savings. So the Ramah says, you're not mechuyiv. So this year you won't shake a lulav. This year you'll be potter from shaking the lulav. There are more paskins that the Hamavazo Ayvaz Yes Mechemish doesn't only apply to tzedakah, it applies even to shar mitzvahs as well. Mishnah Brura questions it. He says it seems from the Gemara not so. It would appear from the Gemara that with respect to other mitzvahs, you are mechuyev, and some rishonim say befeirush against the Ramah. But that's the Ramah remains like that. We assume like that Ramah. The Chavetz Chaim has a sefer Avas Chesed where he discusses a contradiction in the Rambam. The Rambam, in one place in the Mishnah Torah and one place in the Pirush HaMishnayis, writes two different things about this chaimish, about giving 20% for tzedakah. The one place the Rambam recommends it, he recommends you should give. The Chatchilish should give 20%. And if you want to be stingy about it, so give 10%. The other place the Rambam recommends you should give 10%. And if you want to give more, make sure you don't exceed 20%. So that's the upper limit, but that's not the recommended amount. So it's a steer in the Rambam, whether the 20% is recommended, or it's you only recommend 10%, and the 20% is the upper limit. So the Chafetz Chaim writes in his Sefer, Avas Chesed, he thinks that the probably is not a steer. He thinks that two Rambam, based on the context of each line in the Rambam, he thinks they're talking about different cases. If you're flooded with Mishulochim, everybody's coming. I was sitting in Beis Medrash before, just a half an hour. So every day people come. This one has a sick child, this one takes care of these people, he takes care of these people. There's so many Nitzrochim around. So if you're just going to give my success, you're barely going to take care of all of the people's needs. So then the Rambam would recommend you should give, L'chatchila, you should give 20%. But if you don't have so many people clamoring on your doors, and so then the Chafetz Chaim thinks that probably the recommendation would be we would recommend to give Maisik Sofim, and if you want to give more, so then the upper limit would be 20%. But we wouldn't recommend 20% if they're not pestering you for that. Today, people come from all over the world. People come from Australia to America. They come from England. They come from all over the world. But we should help them out. So if a person can afford it, so we would recommend that he should give 20%. If a person is making so much more money than normal, so we'd recommend you should give more than 20%. The Gemara says that this concern Shemei Yayonidi, it's Tarech Labrios, he may become, if he's going to give too much money to Tzedakah, he himself may become poor. So the Gemara says in Ksubas that that's only Bechayev during his lifetime. But if he's about to die and he wants to leave at Tzavod, they should leave money to Tzedakah. So then the Gemara says he may give more than 20%. When you're holding by dying, you're allowed to give more than 20%. I just gave a shiur yesterday, Hilchas Tzedakah, all of these details. The Mishnah has a klal, Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. The klal applies that you're not allowed to get married on Yontif or Chalamoy. That's an Issa Deraisa. You're not allowed to get married on Shabbos. That's just Gzeira Derabban, Gzeira Shema Yichtov. You may write the Ksubi, you may write down a record. But they're not allowed to get married on Chalamoy. That's an Issa Deraisa. Why? Because on Yontif and Chalamoy there's a Chiyav Simcha, and you're not supposed to divert. People can't concentrate on all these different simchas. You're not supposed to get married. Al Chalamoid is going to take away from the simchas yontif. There was a fellow from the neighborhood here who got married on Shabbos. Henry Kissinger. He got married on Shabbos. He married a non-Jewish woman. So his father said shiva. His son married a non-Jewish woman. The mother went to the chasana. The mother went to the wedding. No, but it's only the rabbon. Get married on Shabbos, only Nisa Rabban. Get married on Yom Tov, Chalamoy, that's a Nisa Derais. Ain't married on Simcha. No, that's what you see from now. There's no mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbos. That's why Shabbos doesn't cancel Avelos. Only Yom Tov cancels Avelos. Because Yom Tov is a Chiyav Simcha, and Avelos are attached to disaster. But Shabbos, there's no din of Simcha. You don't observe Avelos before Hesia on Shabbos. So Tosis quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi, that's a different reason. Because the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Birchas Hashem he tashiv al Yosef etzev imo. So Shabbos says vayvarach lekim as yom shemagai kadosh. So Shabbos is a day of bracha. So al Yosef etzev imo, you don't show atzvus, you don't show sadness in public on Shabbos. But it's not the chi of simcha. Chalamoid has simcha and Shabbos does not have simcha. We say yismuchu b'malchuscha on Shabbos. So all the achrayim work on that kasha. Why do you say yismuchu b'malchuscha if there's no chi of simcha? So the pasuk that the Rishalmi quotes is over here, that Yankov Avinu says, you fooled me, he tells his father-in-law, his darling father-in-law, Lavan, you fooled me, you gave me the wrong wife. I was working for 7 years for Rachel, then you go and you give me Leah, that's not fair. So he says, Malishvua Zeus, Vinit Lucha Gamazos, wait till the end of the Shivus HaMishta, and then we'll give you Rachel. So why does he have to wait till the end of the Shivus HaMishta? So Rishalmi says, that's the din. What do you mean? We're learning out of din from Lovan Harami. That's what we said many times. The Ramban writes on Chumash on the Pasuk Zoch of Ishamar. When we start the first day when we learned the Yivamas, when we mentioned in the Ramban. Ramban says on Zoch of Ishamar, the Aseres HaDibros, whenever the Chumash quotes some Tzadik or Rosh or Beinani, whoever's quoted, whenever the Chumash quotes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anochi Hashem Elokecha also, it's not necessarily verbatim quotation of what that person said. So here, whatever Lavan said is irrelevant. The Chumash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, write down that Lavan said this, because I want the Jewish people to know that there's such a din. Avei Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. Doesn't necessarily mean that that's the way Lavan said it. Maybe he said it in a different lotion, but the Chumash was dictated. We're not learning out even from Lavan. We're learning out the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated this text to be written by Moshe Rabbeinu. He dictated in such a way that it should teach us this lesson. So others say, no, ein lemeidim mikoidim matan Torah. Even to learn out a din from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, write it like this, you only learn out from stories that are written after Maimon HaSinai. When you have the Nevuah Bilam HaRasha, so that's after matan Torah. So we learn out dinim from the Nevuah Bilam HaRasha, because it's not necessarily verbatim the way Bilam said it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, write it down this way. So he wants... HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the Jewish people to derive dinim from what Bilam said also. So, but Kodem Matan Torah, that's a question. Do we derive dinim from Kodem Matan Torah? Kodem Matan Torah was also dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, word for word, letter for letter. So that's a question. So there is an opinion. Ein lemeidim mikodem Matan Torah. So you have to have a different pasuk. The other pasuk is, V'samachta b'chagecha v'loi b'yishtecha. V'samachta b'chagecha, you should rejoice on Yontif, v'loi b'yishtecha, you shouldn't get married on Yontif. So the Rambam writes an interesting Loshen and Hilchas Ishus. He writes, if a man wants to, he can marry. The Gemara says later in Yevamos, before the Chem der Rabbeinu Gershom, you're allowed to marry more than one wife, but you have to make enough living to be able to support all the women and to have enough time on your hands to entertain all of your wives. It's a chi of sheksus v'yoina. You have to spend time with each one of the wives. So the Gemara says, we wouldn't recommend more than four. That's how the Mishnah says. How does the king marry 18 wives? Isn't he busy running the whole country? How does he have time for 18 wives? How does everybody I don't have enough time for one wife. How does anybody have time for four wives? I don't know. The Gemara says we wouldn't recommend more than four wives, because the Mishnah gives Abba Achim. and all the four, the three brothers died, and one guy's miyabim all the four wives. So why doesn't it say 10 brothers and 9 died? No, we wouldn't recommend being miyabim to have more than four wives. That's what the Gemara says on that Mishnah. So the Rambam writes, a man has the right to marry as many wives as he wants on one day, provided that he celebrates Shiva Sima Mishnah with each one separately. So he can marry four wives today, if he's so inclined. He can marry four wives today, but the first 7 days he should spend, they should be dedicated Shiva Sima Mishnah to celebrate with wife, one of the wives, and then the next 7 days with the next wife, and the next 7 days with the next wife. It's interesting. You can postpone the Shiva Sima Mishnah. Let's say a couple gets married in America, whatever, and then they want to celebrate Shiva Sima Mishnah in Eretz Yisrael, but it's going to take them a couple of days till they get to Eretz Yisrael. Let's say they live in New Zealand. I don't know, they live in South Pole. It's going to take a long time till they get. So you can postpone. The Shiva Sima Mishnah don't have to necessarily begin. The day of the wedding doesn't necessarily have to be the first day. That's how the Rambam describes. Yesh liish lisa kama nashim v'yayim echad. He can marry many wives on the same day, provided ublevad she yismach amacha and kol achas mehem the Shiva Sima Mishnah separate 7 days. So that's a question halacha l'maisa. What if people want to do like that? He's only married one wife, but he wants to have the Shiva Sima Mishnah next week. For some reason or another, he wants to have the chuppah today, but he wants to celebrate. But it's in the middle of finals now, so he wants to celebrate. There's no time to celebrate. He wants to, they're closing up whatever. The rabbinate is closing the office for the next week, so he wants to get married today. Then he wants to celebrate the next week. So maybe there is such a din. Maybe you can delay the Shiva Sima Mishnah for later. Then
he has to do it. The chuppah is on him. So he has to start somewhere. So he has to start right away with the first one,
and
the second one follows.
But the Rambam says he marries all the four wives today, and the Shiva Sima Mishnah of the second wife is going to be next week, and the Shiva Sima Mishnah is going to be next week.
Has to devote 1 week to each of them.
So maybe it's only this case. So maybe he said maybe it's only this case, because the first 7 days go to the first wife, and the next wife has to have seven. Could be. I don't know. That's what the. I think the Piske Halachas of David Karlina, and that Rambam discusses it. Can you postpone your celebration of the Shiva Sima Mishnah till a later date?
What does he answer?
I don't remember. Got to take a look. Years ago, Rabbi David Karlina's Sefer used to be in style. Now nobody reads it. No one heard it.
If we do learn out from Pesukim, from stories before Matan Torah, how about the pasuk by Vayomer Lavan Lo Yeas Achen Bimkomenu to give the Tzeirah before the Bechira?
Right, Tosfos quotes that pasuk Lo Yeas Achen Bimkomenu, that it's not right to marry you off. Tosfos has a shaila halacha l'maaseh in kiddushin. A man had two daughters. In the days of the Baal HaTais, he used to marry off their daughters before Bas Mitzvah. Today, nobody does it. Then Gemara says you're not allowed to. But in the days of the Baal HaTais, they say we had no choice because they were the crusaders. We don't know if we'll live so long, we may lose our money, so we want to marry off our children as soon as possible, try to set them up, and then hope for the best. So Tais says they had the practice to marry off their daughters when they were very young, before Bas Mitzvah. So once one of the Balei HaTaisis had two daughters, and he was Misharach a boy with one of the daughters, and he didn't designate which daughter. The boy apparently didn't know either of the daughters. He's just prepared to marry this man's daughter. He didn't know either of the daughters. So it's a Sofik Kiddushin. Each one is a Sofik Achlis Ishtai. And Sofik Ishtai. So Taisa says, no, Lo Yasachemim Komenu. Obviously, he's marrying off the daughters in order. So whoever is older is married to the boy. So Taisa does quote it, Lo Yasachemim Komenu. The discussion in the Poskim, is it really not right? I have 9 children. As it turns out, my 9 children all got married in order. The first one got married first, but it wasn't planned like that. It wasn't planned parenthood. It just happened like that. Each one got married in order. So that's a discussion in the poskim. Is there really such a midas deracheret that the younger daughter shouldn't get married before the older daughter? So it's a discussion in poskim. The ein elea rakos. So Rashi quotes the Medrash. Rashi made it famous that this is a description. The Torah is not going to describe Amida Meguna that a tzaddik had. So the pasuk seems to say that her eyes, she was not good looking. Why? Because she was always crying. Why was she always crying? Because she was afraid that they were going to marry her off to her cousin Esav. She was the older of the two sisters, and Esav was older than Yankiv. So she was always crying. People all said she's going to marry the older brother Esav, and the younger sister Rachel is going to marry Yaakov. So she was crying her heart out. I don't want to marry Esav. So this is considered the beauty of Rachel, of Leah, that she was crying. Not that the pasuk is megana her, says that she was not good looking. People viewed that as her beauty. She was such a tzaddikah. She was always crying that she didn't want to marry Esav, and that her prayers were answered. She didn't marry Esav. She was zoichet to marry Yaakov also. Yaakov Avinu married the two sisters. The Ramban has the famous kashif. The Gemara says, Ekev asher shama Avraham b'koli v'yishmor mishmati mitzvasai v'chukasai v'soroi soi. He observed all of the mitzvahs of Torah. So mistama for Avraham Avinu came kala Torah kuala shlendit. Mistama Yitzchak and Yaakov also observed. So how come Yaakov married two sisters? Hayitochin? He's not allowed to marry two sisters b'chayah. Achisishte b'chayah. So the Ramban has his famous explanation that the Yikim Mokum for Shmiris HaMitzvahs is really Eretz Yisrael. So Kodem Atan Torah, the Ovis volunteered as an Eina Mitzvah V'yoseh to observe all the Taryag Mitzvahs, so it only made sense in Eretz Yisrael to volunteer. After the Torah was given, so the Torah HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a loyplug. And he said, you have to observe all of these mitzvahs, the Chavis HaGuf, even the Chutz Lords. But Kodem Atan Torah, the Ovis were just volunteering, so it only made sense to observe in Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban emphasizes later in Chumash that even after Matan Torah, the main location, the Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs is really in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban counts living in Eretz Yisrael as a separate mitzvah, and the Rambam does not count it as a separate mitzvah. So we discussed the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, how come the Rambam didn't count it as a separate mitzvah. So some claim, the Knesset HaGedolah claims that the Rambam holds that it's only a mitzvah midrabbanan to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's very difficult. So many Pesukim and Chumash indicate that you're supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael. How can it be that it's only midrabbanan? So most of the Acharayim and most of the Mefarshim and the Sefer HaMitzvahs assume that the Rambam also agrees with the Ramban. There is a mitzvah and a Torah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but they hold that the Rambam felt that it's not necessary to count that as an independent mitzvah. It's included in some other mitzvah or another. Which mitzvah is it included in? So some explain the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is not an independent mitzvah. It enhances all of the other 612 mitzvahs. Like the Ramban says in his commentary on Chumash, the Yikam Mokum for Shmir is called our mitzvahs. Is in Eretz Yisrael. So if you live in Eretz Yisrael and you observe Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha and then Lulav and Tzitzis and Shofar, you're observing all of the mitzvahs, more Bishlei Musam, the Yikam Mokam Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the Ramban's famous explanation. He has it a few times in his commentary on Chumash, that the Yikam Mokam Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs is really in Eretz Yisrael. And others give other suggestions, many famous suggestions as to why Yaakov Avinu didn't observe the Midas Chasidus of observing the mitzvahs HaTorah Koidim Atan Torah. So Rabbi Yankel Kamenetsky has a famous comment on this pasuk. He promised Rachel 7 years earlier that he's going to marry her. So now the father-in-law fooled him and he slips in Leah. So now Yankel Avinu has a dilemma. Whatever he's going to do is no good. If he's going to marry the two sisters, he's violating the Midas Chasidus, the family Midas Chasidus, that his father and his grandfather, Avram and Yitzchak, they observe all the mitzvahs HaTorah, Kodem Atan Torah. So should he, on the one hand, observe the Midas Chasidus of not marrying two sisters, or should he keep his promise? He promised the girl 7 years ago, and he was living there by the in-laws. He was living there for 7 years. He was always dating Rachel. He kept on telling her, going to promise to marry her. Now he's going to double-cross her because they have a Midas Chasidus. So is that right? So whenever you're faced with a dilemma, balaz means olam halchem are no good. Whatever you're going to do, teignish. Whatever you do, you're doing an avera. So you have to be boicha b'miyotara. So you have to choose the lesser of the two evils. So boicha b'miyotara doesn't always mean shevi al tasa orif. Sometimes, if everything else is equal, so to violate an avera b'shevi al tasa is less of an avera than to violate an avera b'kum b'yaseh. So the Gemara sometimes says shevi al tasa orif. Gemara has a Mishnah in Zvachim. Mishnah in Zvachim has the shechta two different korbanos. So one korban you're supposed to do one zrika on the mizbech. If you do zrika in more than one corner, you're in violation of Baal Tosef. The other korban you're supposed to do two zrikas on the mizbech. And if you do one zrika instead of two, you'll be in violation of Baal Tigra. So the dam from the korban that needs one zrika got mixed up with the dam from the carbon, that needs two zrikas. They put them together in the same cup. So there's a machlokes hatana, and what should you do? Should you do two zrikas? Again, you'll be in violation of Baal Taisif. Or should you do one zrika and be in violation of Baal Tigra? Whichever way, you're going to violate something. So it's a machlokes a blessing, Rabbi Yeshua. We pass on like Rabbi Yeshua. The shev al tasa orif, to violate Baal Tigra, is the lesser of the two evils. Because if you violate Baal Taisif, if you do two zrikas on the mat nachas, that'll be a violation of an aver b'kum yaseh. If you violate Baal Tigra, you're violating an aver b'shev yal tasa. So there's a whole sugya in Erev in Daf Kuf discussing that mishnah in Zvachim about when faced with a dilemma, how do you determine which is the lesser of the two evils? And the Gemara says sometimes that's the way to determine the lesser of the two evils is sometimes shev yal tasa, but it's not always the case. Sometimes the kum v'yaseh is the lesser of the two evils. Now, Soloveitchik used to speak for the Mizrahi at the annual convention. So they published five of the drushes, Chamesh drushes. They published five of the drushes that he gave. I think he must have given more than five drushes, but I think they only printed five of the drushes that he gave. So one of the public drushes that he gave, that's one of the printed drushes, so he explains like that. He says the Mizrahi is not happy joining the coalition government in Eretz in the early years, because the government was doing terrible things as far as the Jewish religion is concerned. But if the Mizrahi wouldn't join the government, they'll be doing worse things. So you have to be Bacha B'Meir Tara. So the lesser of the two evils is to join the government and try to control the damage a little bit. And the Aguda always boycotted, you're not allowed to join the coalitions, you're Harig Val Yavar. So after several years, Rav Shach at that time was one of the leading Rabbonim in the Aguda. So Rav Shach Paskin, they're allowed to join the coalition government. Then years later, Rav Shach made his own party. He made the Degel HaTorah when the Aguda didn't listen to him, and he didn't want to play second fiddle to the other Rabbonim. So he made his own Degel HaTorah, made his own party. But originally, when he still belonged to the Aguda, before the Degel HaTorah was conceived of, so he Paskin for them that they were allowed to join the coalition government. So at that time, Rav Shach was an elder statesman. He must have been in his 70s at that time. Wasn't yet 100 years old, but he was in his 70s, maybe 80s, I forgot already. And Rav Moshe Shtenbach was a young man. So Moshe Shtenbach attacked him publicly. But we said it's Yoharik Val Yavar. For years they were saying, you're not allowed to join the coalition, it's Yoharik Val Yavar. So Rav Shach felt compelled to defend his position, but it seemed funny what he's going to have to, he has to answer to a man who's 30 years younger than him. Why he paskin that the Aguda should join the coalition government. So instead of responding to Rav Moshe Shtenbuch, so he sent a letter to his relative here in America, Rav Shnia Kotler, was a relative of his, and he asked them they should publicize the letter. So the letter was hanging in the Beis Medrash, across the street, hanging every yeshiva. Apparently they assumed that Shabbat Yitz Kalim is also yeshiva. So it was hanging over there. He had a unique handwriting, so you can recognize his handwriting. It wasn't a forgery, it was Rav Shach's handwriting. So he writes in the letter, he's explaining to Rav Shnia Kotler why he paskin that they should join the coalition government. So he says, Kifi mashi kibalna mirabuseinu, then when you're faced with a dilemma, you have to be Bercha b'miyo tara. You have to choose the lesser of the two evils. Exactly what Rav Soloveitchik said all along. That was always the Aguda position. So that was always the Mizrahi position. That's what he finally said. That good is going to do the same thing. You have to be bocha b'miyot tara, and it's not always necessarily the case that shevi al tasa is the miyot tara. Sometimes kum ase is the miyot tara. So that's what Yankiv Kamenetsky says over here, that he promised Rachel for the last 7 years he's going to marry her. So of course he has to keep his word. And I was going to say, I can't marry you because I have a family chumra not to violate achos ishta, even though kodem matan Torah. What? You have a chumra? So therefore, you can't live up to your promise. You have to observe the promise rather than observe a family chumr. Sometimes people get so involved in chumras, they forget what's a real din. That's what it says that Yosef, the Gemara has a comment that Yosef had tzaddik when he was freed from the prison, that was on Rosh Hashanah. So the Mefarshim asked, how can it be with Rosh Hashanah? It says that he took a haircut. How can he take a haircut of Rosh Hashanah? Yes, Matzari took a haircut of Rosh Hashanah. So all the Rishonim talk about that kasha. So the Chasam Sofer has in his drushes on that parsha, of course he took a haircut. Kobed HaMelech, having respect for the government, that's a real din. not to do malach and Rosh Hashanah, koidem matan Torah. That's a family chumer. It's amidas chasidus. So if you have, what do you do if you have a conflict between a real din and amidas chasidus? So the real din wins. Of course, the real din wins. We spoke about it by the Korban Pesach. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Korban Pesach, when you have broiled the Korban Pesach, you don't slice it into lamb chops and broil it. You first broil Rosh Al Kro Abal Kirboi. You broil the whole Korban Pesach, and then afterwards you slice it. It's a mitzvah l'chatchila to broil the whole Korban Pesach intact. So the Rambam says, but you have to first cut out the chalev. You have to cut out the chalev and burn it on the Mizbeach. If you're going to leave the chalev, you have to cut out chutei hadam also. If you're going to leave all the chutei hadam, when you broil flesh, you don't have to have a real malicha, because the broiling, you do malicha b'miktsas, is a chumra to do malicha b'miktsas, because the broiling takes out all of the blood. But if you're going to leave in the arteries and the blood, the big blood vessels, not the little blood vessel, you're going to leave in the big arteries, it's going to make everything treif. So the Rambam says you have to rip out the chutei ha-chelev and rip out the chutei ha-dam, and then you broil the whole Korban Pesach intact. Then after you broil the whole Korban Pesach, then you cut out the gid anasha and you throw it out. So the Rabbit says, what do you mean? You have to cut out the gid anasha beforehand. The Rabbit has his sharp style. He says, if I would be there in the Beis HaMikdash and this man, the Rambam, would bring his Korban Pesach, I would throw it on the floor. You're not allowed to eat your Korban Pesach, he just made a treif. You brought the Korban Pesach with the Gid Anashe, made a treif. So the commentaries on the side explain that we paskin, there's a machlekes in the Gemara, we paskin, ain't the Gid Anashe Tam, that if you cooked flesh with the Gid Anashe, it doesn't make treif. The Gid Anashe doesn't have enough flavor that you should say Tam Kika, doesn't make treif. Aye, but the Shuman Agid is also mit the Rabbanon. The Gid Anashe itself doesn't have Tam, but the Shuman Agid does have Tam. So the Shuman Agid makes everything treif. So that's what the Kesef Mishnah asks. So the Kesef Mishnah answers that the Lashon HaGemara is that the Minat Torah, only the Gid Anashe itself is awesome. The Shemin HaGid is Mutar, and then the Gemara says, Yisrael Kiddoshim Nog Bo Iser. So the Kesef Mishnah says, the Rambam obviously thinks that Shemin HaGid is only a Minig. It's not even a Din Derabban. So he says, if it's only a Minig, and the Minig comes in conflict with the real Din, the din is that you have to broil the Korban Pesach, Rosh Al Kro Val Kibbe. You have to broil the whole Korban Pesach intact. So whenever you have a conflict between a minig and a din, you have to over the din. So he says, every Pesach, all the Jews who ate Korban Pesach violated the minig of eating Shuman Agid. You have no choice, because he's supposed to observe the real din of Rosh Al Kro Val Kibbe. The Netziv has such a comment, he has a tshuva like that, Aloha. That's what Poskim say. Whenever you have a minig, Amidas Chassidus, there comes a conflict with the real din. So you have to observe the real din. You don't observe the Amidas Chassidus. So here, that's what Abiyaki Kamenetsky said. He promised that he's going to marry Rochel. Of course he has to keep his promise. What do you mean to have a family chumra, not to marry Shtei Achoyes Kodem Atan Torah? That's Amidas Chassidus. People often get carried away with chumras, so they forget that there are dinim that are more important. When Yaakov Avinu wants to leave, after he finally finished working for the 14 years for his two wives, he wants to leave. So Laban tells him, no, please stay on. Bayavarchani Hashem biglolecho. When you came, so my business started to be so much more successful. And then when Yaakov is telling his wives, also he tells his wives that your father's business became more successful because of me. So the Gemara says, Sholosh tekifas hein. There were three inyonim of tekef. One is tekef l'smicha shchita. When you shech the korban, you should do the smicha immediately before. You shouldn't do the smicha on Erev Yontav and bring the korban on Yontav. You should do the smicha on Yontav. Tekef l'smicha shchita. Tekef l'netilas yadayim broche. Whatever that means. My machreinim, my mishreinim, whatever, both. And then tekef l'tamach chacham broche. When the tamach chacham comes into the business, if he's an honest tamach chacham, sometimes he'll be a ganav. But if he's an honest Talmud Chacham, so then you can expect that takeif the Talmud Chacham bracha. That's why there were people who used to put down on their business, they used to make the Lubavitcher Rebbe a shutif in the business with the permission of the Rebbe. They used to be successful. Takeif the Talmud Chacham bracha. That's how the Gemara promises. It's based on the psukim in the parsha. Takeif the Talmud Chacham bracha. So the pasuk describes that love. Yaakov Avinu felt very uncomfortable. His brothers-in-law were grumbling and mumbling, Lokah Yaakov is called Asher Avinu. Our brother-in-law emptied out the whole family wealth. Me'asher Avinu says Kol HaKavod Hazeh. He became wealthy. He stole all the money from my father. He's cheating. He's cheating in the business. So Yaakov Avinu said to his wives, "It's time to leave. Your brothers are not happy. So let's get out of here." So the Medrash has a comment on this pasuk. Me'asher Avinu says Kol HaKavod Hazeh. Pasuk in Perek Lamed Aleph. Pasuk Aleph. Ain't covered all the moment. Shenema also is called a covered asset. So it goes on assets, on moment. So the Meforshim only ask Akasha, but there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, ain't covered all the Torah. Shenema. Covered Chachamim in Yincholu. So isn't that very different? Here it says, ain't covered all the moment. There it says, ain't covered all the Torah. So shtika lastira. So they quote from the Vilna Goyen that the two words are spelled differently. And in today's Sedra, it says, us is called a kovet hazeh, missing a vav, chaser. And kovet chachamim in chola, that pasuk in Mishlei is kovet with a vav. So he says, the kovet malei is Talmud Torah, and the kovet chaser is malei. No steering. Two different things. One is kovet malei, and one is kovet chaser. So Yaakov Avinu said that he has to skedaddle, he can't stay around. The brothers are... The brothers-in-law are going to give him a hard time. And then he tells his wives, you know that I didn't cheat your father. I did my job with full Mesiris Nefesh. And then later on, when Lavan confronts him, and he says, and in the daytime I was schmaltzing away in the sun, watching your sheep. And that time it was freezing. I did full service for you. I did a full job. So the Gemara and the Rambam quote these psukim with respect to Hashem HaSachar. The Gemara quotes it with respect to Hashem HaSachar. And the Rambam quotes it with respect to a poil. That a poil is mechuyav la'avad b'chol koichai. Let's say the one who had the job before me didn't know how to use a computer. So he had to type 30 letters. So it took him 2 weeks to type the 30 letters. I can type the 30 letters in 10 minutes. And they're paying me the same salary that they paid the other guy. So if it took him 2 weeks to send 30 letters, I can have coffee breaks all day long. I'll do more than him. I'll put out 30 letters in 1 week. It used to take him 2 weeks. I'll put out 30 letters in 1 week. So the Rambam says, you're not allowed to do that. You're not mechuyav to make yourself crazy. If you have to go to the bathroom, then you go to the bathroom. You have to take a lunch break. You have to daven mincha. You daven mincha. But you're not allowed to say, he's only paying me the same salary that he paid the previous guy. The previous guy only did so much. I'm not mechuyav to accomplish more. If you can accomplish so much more, every poil is mechuyav labed b'chol koichai, to the best of your ability, without straining yourself, without getting sick. The Rambam quotes it in Hilchas Chiras Poilim with respect to a poil. The Gemara says with respect to Hashem HaSachar. It's not a steer, it's exactly the same. Hashem HaSachar is a poil on the Pu'ula of Shmira. If you're salaried to do something, then you have the status of a poil. You have a din that a poil, Yachal Achzav Afila Be'em Tzayom. A poil is allowed to quit on the job in the middle of the day because the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, Ki Libanei Yisrael Avadim Elo Avadim La'Avadim. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants all the Jewish people should be independent. So you're not allowed to sell yourself as an Eved. So the Gemara says, how can anybody work for someone else? The halacha should require everybody should be self-employed. If you want everybody to be independent, to have a direct relationship with our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ki libani yisrael avarim la'avarim la'avarim. The Gemara says, no, that's why a poel yachalach sabafi lebeim tzayim. The poel is allowed to quit in the middle of the day, provided it's not going to cause a hefset to the balabas. If he causes a hefset to the Baal Bas, he's a mazik, you're not allowed to do that. But if he'll be able to be replaced easily, smoothly, without a hefset, then he's allowed to quit in the middle. So the Rishonim point out, based on the Gemara in the first parak in Kiddushin, that a Shomer cannot quit in the middle. Let's say, I agree to serve as a Shomer Chinam. You're going away to Eretz Yisrael, and I agree to be a Shomer for you. So I have no right to quit in the middle. A Shomer has to stick it out till the end. So there's a Machne Ephraim, where he writes, if a person was originally a Shem HaSachar, and he wants to quit in the middle, he doesn't want to be a Shem HaSachar, so he can't quit Legamrei because he's a Shemer, but he can quit from being a Shem HaSachar to lower his level to only be a Shem HaChinam. Shem HaChinam is not mechuyev to watch as hard, as rigorously as a Shem HaSachar. The Gemara says a shamechinim has to be not takid and not 3 inches. He has to watch to the same extent that the owner himself would watch. Let's say in the summertime, it's hot, so I leave the windows open. I'm sitting in one room and doing my work, and I leave the windows open. I don't lock all the windows in the whole house. I go downstairs to pick up the mail. I don't lock the windows and lock the doors. So let's say I have a shamechinim, and he's watching the house for me. And he watches the house the same way I watch the house. He's sitting in one room, and he leaves all the windows open. He goes downstairs to pick up the mail, a babysitter, whatever. And then there's a geneva. A geneva occurs. So do I have a taina? Do I have the right to taina? You're a posheya. Who told you to leave all the windows open? So the answer, the Gemara says, no, that's not a pshia. If he's not a kid and not rinchi, he watched to the same extent the balabas himself would watch. He watched normally. So shamachinim is only mechuyiv to watch the same way the balabas himself would watch. The shamasoch is mechuyiv to watch even harder. Why? Because the shamasoch is salaried, so he has a din like a poyel. So an employee is mechuyiv b'chol koichai avarat yisavichim. He has to work b'chol koichai. So that's what the Machne Ephraim writes. If one is a shamasochar and he wants to quit in the middle, so he can quit being a shamasochar to lower his level down to be only a shamachinim. He can't quit from being a shamachinim. That's the Gemara in Kiddushin, that a shamachinim, a shamachinim can't quit in the middle. A shamasochar is a poyel, so that level of chi of shmir that he has over and above that of a shamachinim, he can quit. That's a poyel yachlach saboy afilu be'em tzahayam. So that's why the Rambam quotes the pasuk. The Rambam quotes it in Hilchas Chiras to emphasize that the poel is mechuyev lavad b'chol koichoi. The Gemara quotes the pasuk to show that a shamasochar is mechuyev to watch harder than a shamachinam. But it's not a contradiction, it's exactly the same. Shamasochar is mechuyev to watch harder because the shamasochar is a poel. He's a poel on the pool of Shmira. Unfortunately, a lot of people are in violation of this din. They don't do b'chol koichoi. A poil is mechuyev lavad b'chol koich. Not supposed to have coffee breaks all the time, talk on the phone all the time. It's supposed to be doing the work that the balabas asks him to do. The Gemara says when the poilim daven, they can take a break to daven mincha, but they're not supposed to have chazoras hashatz. They're not supposed to have the takana chazoras hashatz when it's never made for poilim, because they have to dedicate the whole day for the work of the boss. And when they bench birchas hamazon, they're supposed to abridge the benching, not supposed to say the whole benching. So today, it says in the Shulchan Aruch today, nobody does that. Everybody knows that they do Chazaras Hashatz and they do the whole benching. Okay, but not to keep on having coffee breaks. Not to keep on having hafsokas. A lot of times the workers take stamps for themselves and they take envelopes for themselves and they use the telephone of the boss to make their own personal phone calls. And they're always taken off. So this is Mamish Gzela. This is Mamish Gzela. They have in the biographies of Rav Kook that on one occasion he had to be Masadar Eget for a couple. So they had made up who the Sefer is going to be, the husband and the wife. And the Sefer, and one of the Eidim was there, the other Eid didn't show up. So they're waiting and waiting. So the secretary in the office said, if you want, I'll be the other Eid. He was also religious too with a bid and pay. So Rav Kook kept on saying, no, it's okay, we'll wait till he comes. So another 15 minutes go by. Another thing, the guy keeps on saying, if you want, I'll be. He keeps on saying, no, he doesn't want. Then finally, he didn't understand why not. So Rav Kook told him he doesn't want to use a secretary because the secretaries often use an envelope or a piece of or a stamp or a piece of stationery from the office for their own purposes. And it's a chashash gzela, so the postulates. It's a chumra. Strictly speaking, the Gemara says if a person is a ganef with an excuse, everybody does like that. Everybody does a little bit. Everybody cheats a little bit. If a guy cheats on income tax, hundreds of thousands of dollars, so not everybody's doing that. So such a guy is postulated, he's a ganef. The guy cheats a little bit here, a little bit there, so the Gemara says, ganef nissen, ganef tishrei. And nissen and tishrei, there's so many bushels of food from the farm. So all the workers, the minig is that they take a little bit extra, even though they're not entitled. So since that's the minig, so it's like ganef b'shegit. Even though they know it's not right, we consider it ganef b'shegit. So strictly speaking, a secretary who takes cheats a little bit for himself is a ganef b'shege. But Rav Kook didn't want, so he says that's his policy. He never wants to use. Other gedolim had a policy they would never use businessmen. He quote Avdei Nezer, would never use a businessman as an aide that a chassan or a get because he's afraid that all the businessmen cheat in business. Well, quite a condemnation. In the Haftorah, Parshas Vayetze, different menhogim, the Minig Ashkenaz, as you say, the Haftorah from the end of Sefer Hosea, from the last chapter in Sefer Hosea, Perek Yud Beis. So you have the Pasuk, Asher Bucho Yurucham Yosom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of all of the Yisoimim. So Rashi in one place quotes that Abaye was a Yosem. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, Abaye said how fortunate he is that he doesn't have the challenge of Kibbut Aviyim. His father died before he was born and the mother died at childbirth, so he never had a Kibbut Av or a Kibbut Aim. He says everybody violates the din of Kibbut Aviyim. And he was raised by his uncle, Rabbi Banachmeni, and Rabbi Banachmeni always used to refer to him as Nachmeni. So apparently he was named after the grandfather, Nachmeni. That was his name. So why do we call him Abaye? So some say that Rabbi didn't want to call him Nachmeni. That was his father's name. So he called him Tatanyu, Abaye. Abba means a father. Abaye, Abanyu. And others say, Rashi quotes this, others say, Abaye is a Rosh HaTevis HaShem B'cho Yerucham Yosem. It was a nickname that they gave him because they said the Rebbeinu Shlom will protect him, will take care of the Yosemim. HaShem B'cho Yerucham Yosem. Yeah. That's a Rashi quote. The word Abaye, HaShem B'cho Yerucham Yosem. Right. Aleph Beis Yud Yun. Rashi quotes that pshat. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, a famous line, that a complete tshuva is only when the person has done such tshuva, Asher yoid olav yadea talumis, till HaKadosh Baruch Hu will testify on him that he's not going to return to do the sin again. So there's a discussion that Chavis Halvavis has. When it talks about tshuva, what if a person did tshuva shlema, and then he goes again and he repeats the same aver again? Is it igloy milson amafre that it was really a faker? That the tshuva on Yom Kippur was a fraud? He never did tshuva haraya. He's clapping on Shabbat again, he goes back and he does the same aver again. So the tshuva is never accepted, or should we assume? No. So the Chavis Halvava says no. If he really did tshuva b'leiv shalom, and then later on in the year he just couldn't control himself, and he falls back into the same pitfall, he does the same aver. So the tshuva b'shaita was good, and now it's a new avera. So some assume that the Rambam disagreed, because the Rambam says, v'yoyd olav yadea taluma, is that God will testify, God knows all the secrets, God will testify that he's never going to return to do this sin again. So God is not going to testify falsely. So obviously, if the guy repeated the avera, God never testified in the first place. So that's a question, how do you translate the words, v'yoyd olav yadea taluma, is God will testify. God is not going to give aid to Sheker. So if he returns back to the Avera, it sounds like the Rambam does not agree with the Chavis Halvavis who came before him. The Rambam is disagreeing with the Chavis Halvavis that if the person did Tshuva and he falls back into the same Avera, so it sounds like the Tshuva was not a valid Tshuva. But others interpret the Rambam, the Lecha Mishnah, and others interpret the Rambam. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to learn. You heard all of it, God will testify. So the Rambam disagrees with the Chavis Halvavis. In others, learn like the Lecha Mishnah. Means he will call upon God to testify. He's so convinced on Yom Kippur when he's saying Vidui and doing the Tshuva, he says, Bano Shel Olam, you testify. You can read my heart. You testify that I really mean it. It doesn't necessarily mean that God is testifying. It means that the man will call upon God to testify. And the Rambam quotes this pasuk. Where does it say in this pasuk that God is going to testify that the Baal Tshuva is not going to return to the Avera again? So the simple reading of the pasuk is, V'loi namar oid Elokeinu. The Baal Tshuva is talking to God. God, testify on my behalf that I'm not going to repeat the sin. It's not that the pasuk doesn't say a word about God testifying. It says about the Baal Tshuva calling upon the Rebbeinu Shlom to testify. So then it could be the Pashtus, the Rambam does not disagree with the Chavis Avos. Two ways to read that line in the Rambam. V'yoyd olav yadea talumis means that God will actually testify, or the Baal Tshuva will feel so convinced of his tshuva that he will call upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu to testify. The concluding pasuk in Hosea is the famous pasuk. Yisharim da'achi Hashem, tzadikim yochavam, The ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are very straight. And the Gemara talks in Nazir, the Gemara talks about two people who brought the Korban Pesach, and the Tzaddik was fasting a whole day on Erev Pesach in order that he should eat L'Teyovin, and then he eats the Korban Pesach L'Teyovin, and he has his mitzvah. And the Rosha was fasting a whole day, and he eats the Korban Pesach Achila Gasa. They're both doing, looks as if they both are doing exactly the same thing. They're both eating a kazais of the Korban Pesach, but that's Tzaddikim Yelchavam, the Tzaddik is Yetzin Mitzvah. Foshim Yikoshlevam, he ate at Achila Gasa, so he's not Yetzin. That's the Gemara. It looks like they're both doing the same thing. Tzaddikim Yelchavam, Foshim Yikoshlevam. This pasuk became very famous because of the Nerev Yehuda's tshuva. Nerev Yehuda was related to the Baal Shem Tov. There was a period of time that they both lived in the same little village, and Yampala, before he became the Rav in the big in Prague, the big city. So the Hasidim who would follow the Baal Shem Tov always used to say the Shem Yichud Kod Shabrich before they performed any mitzvah, that you're doing the Hinim Uchon Mezumah to do the mitzvah, the Shem Shemayim, so on. So the Nori Behuda was opposed. He said it's against the Halacha. Not supposed to say the Shem Yichud Kod Mezumah, because we assume Stam HaLashma. You're making all Hachani, you're saying that you're doing the Shem Mitzvah. The Halacha says that we assume you're doing the Shem Mitzvah, but you're making such a declaration, you're implying against the Halacha. The Halacha says that the Stam HaLashma. Of course everybody does the mitzvah l'shma. So in Europe, they couldn't all afford to have a lulav and an esrog, so the community would buy for the Rav, and the Rav would give, like by the Chassidish Rebbes, the Rav would give his lulav and esrog to each balabas. And when he saw there was a balabas who was saying the Shem Yichud, he would take it back. He said, not going to give him my esrog. He's following the Chassidish practices he didn't want. So he has this little tshuva against the Shem Yichud by the lulav and the esrog, and it concludes and he writes, Ki yishorim da'achei Hashem, tzadikim yalchavon, v'chassidim yikoshlevon. That's how he concluded. That was in the first printing. That's what it said. Then in the second printing, when they reprinted the Nerev Yehuda, so the printer changed it. Instead, that's such an insult. So he changed it back to Foshim Mikoshlevam. So it shouldn't be so abusive to the Hasidim. So Nerev Yehuda complained and said, look what you did. I took Poshim and I made them into Hasidim. You took Hasidim and made them into Poshim. Why'd you change the text of the Shua? So that's the famous line from the Nerev Yehuda on the Shul. Whatever. They tell a lot of stories. They tell the story that they used to live in the same village. So the daughter of the Nerev Yehuda used to go visit to the Baal Shem Tov. They were cousins. Baal Shem Tov is related to Mrs. Nerev Yehuda. So the daughter used to go visit, and on one occasion, the Baal Shem Tov stood up, and he ripped Kriya, and he sat down. And didn't correspond to anything that was happening. So 5 or 6 weeks later, they heard that the Orach Chaim HaKadosh passed away in Eretz Yisrael, exactly that time, that day. So then she revealed to her father, she never told the father that she was visiting the Baal Shem Tov, he would be upset. So she revealed to the father that she was always visiting by the cousin, and he has Ruach HaKadosh, Vaharaya, that 6 weeks ago, we all just found out today that the Baal Shem Tov, that the Orach Chaim HaKadosh died in Eretz Yisrael. No one knew, and Baal Shem Tov ripped Kriya exactly. He stood up, he ripped Kriya, and he sat down exactly that time. So then Nerev Yehuda looked at his daughter with a stern face, and he said he was over on Baal Tashchis, because the Halacha says you only rip Kriya if you're there b'shas yitzias neshama, or you have an aid who tells you that someone died. So they went back and they told the Baal Shem Tov that the Nerev Yehuda said you were over on Baal Tashchis. He said, what do you mean? I was there b'shas yitzias neshama. It was in Poland, and Orach Chaim died in Eretz. I was there b'shas yitzias neshama. They tell other stories like that. They tell. I remember once I was in Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's shiur, the first year that they came to the yeshiva, so they didn't know what level shiur to give him. So they picked out 9 students from here, from there. So they picked out 9 students and put in his shiur. So I was one of the 9 people. So one day he gave a shiur. And one of the students says, I wasn't paying attention, could you say that again? So Avraham Soloveitchik said, you know the story of the Nerev Yehuda and the Baal Shem Tov? So I started to smile. So he said, oh, Shechta knows, he'll tell you the story later. So the story goes like this, that the Nerev Yehuda called the Baal Shem Tov into his bezin, and he said, you want to found a whole new movement in Judaism? You have to be a little bit learned. You can't just have found. So I have to give you a little bit of a faher. So it was Rosh Chodesh. So yes, then what's the din if you forget Yalav Yova by Ma'ariv? You have to daven over again. So the din is Arish Chodesh, the one exception to the rule. On Chalamoid, if you forget Yalav Yova by Ma'ariv, you have to daven over. Arish Chodesh, because Eim HaKachan is a Chodesh B'Lav, you don't have to daven over. So the Baal Shem Tov gave him a wise guy answer. He didn't answer the question straight. So he says, Rebbe, it doesn't make a difference for my Hasidim or for your Hasidim. My people would never forget the first time. And your people, even if you tell them to daven a second time, they would forget the second time also. So the story goes, the Hasidic version of the story goes, that that morning, the Nedib Yehuda forgot Yalav Yehovah by Shachris, and he davened over Shmoneh a second time, and he forgot Yalav Yehovah the second time. That's the Hasidic version of the story goes. So that's what Baron Soloveitchik said. Me, I'll tell her, you're going to pay attention the second time. You're not going to pay attention the second time either. There are a lot of stories about the encounters between. So that's the nasty comment of the Nedib Yehuda on the concluding post. Okay. Very good. Good idea. You want to dive into it?